Well, Kyle, you know what? We're back in the United States now. In fact, we've been back in the United States for a couple of weeks, at least. And we sort of left everybody hanging as to what we were doing overseas. I think the last time we were talking, we were on a train. We're actually on three trains. Well, not at the same time, but we were taking a trip into Germany on a bunch of regional lines, and that involved getting on kind of tiny trains and going, well, what they considered to be slow. We consider it to be fast here in this country, in the United States, but we basically were not taking the high-speed lines, just moving kind of slowly and methodically from Austria into Germany. But our conversation had basically hinged on what we had been doing before that. And I think we got up to the point where we were in Bratislava in Slovakia. Does that seem to ring a bell with you as far as like where we were the last time we were talking?
Yeah, I think that's where we were when we were discussing this long travel logging, I guess, or timeline that we've been trying to catch up on.
And it's a little bit crazy today, too, because for some reason we're recording this now while we're on our way to do radio live at WUSB. We're doing editions of Off the Wall, the February 10th, 2015 edition, I believe. And it's going to be an exciting show. I don't know why I'm telling you this, because you've already heard it probably. But it's we're planning on broadcasting the SpaceX launch live, because that's on NASA TV, which is available on the internet. And we're just going to try and it's launching 5 minutes after our show begins, so we have to sort of find out what's going on there. It's also the dead of winter. It's really cold. There's snow everywhere. We didn't have much winter when we were traveling, but when we got back, bang, we got hit by a blizzard, and we had all kinds of snow and ice and cold temperatures, and I love it. It's what winter really should be. Kind of glad we didn't have it when we were traveling, because if we had done that, then maybe it would have been harder for us to get around, and it might have been more unpleasant.
I'm out of my element. I feel like we're stuck in it. We've entered a new ice age, but that's entirely just my subjective perspective on things, but it's cold. Yeah, I'll verify that.
But you get winter in Seattle, don't you?
Not enough, apparently.
Wow. Well, I'm pleased as punch with the winter so far. This is what winter should be. I'm sorry for you folks that don't like cold. Well, you know what? There's states that you can move to. There's countries you can move to. In fact, most of the world is warm, and the whole damn planet's getting warmer. So, you know, there's plenty for you to do. So let's have some cold areas. Let this be one of them. I think New York, certainly Boston is, wow, they really know how to do winter there. But, you know, the Northern Hemisphere, yeah, it should be cold in the winter. It makes summer more fun because then it's warm and then it's cold again and basically things like that. We've talked about weather before. I don't know if I want to really get into that so much, but it's good to be back. I would have said that 2 weeks ago. I was probably jet-lagged for about a week. And I got sick again. I was sick. I was coughing up a storm, and it was fun. It was kind of arduous, but it was fun.
Yeah, I'm hanging on as far as the cold, adapting to that. I think it's always a good thing to change and get acclimating to different scenarios. So I'm embracing it, and as we said, I've missed a bit of it. In the Northwest, so yeah, it's cool, and being back is good.
Oh no, I am not going to miss this light. Oh boy, sorry. I'm kind of in a hurry as usual, but I really want to get some coffee before we do the show. Do you think we can do that?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good way to stay warm. And it's good to be back. We're in the New York area, and boy, it's great to. To slow down from the hustle and the pickup and put down, but lots to do here too. We're pretty excited.
Did you know this is the first radio, not the one we're doing right now that people are listening to, but the one that we are currently physically on our way to? That is the first live radio show that we have done inside a studio since December, at least for me. You did a show here in December, right, at Stony Brook?
Yeah, I think maybe in December I got one or two shows, or yeah, it was maybe late in November.
So we've had nothing but travel shows on USB, and on BAI and Off the Hook, we've been either on the road, on the telephone, or we've been preempted. So this is the first time we've actually walked into a studio since... Well, actually, it's interesting because we did radio overseas. It wasn't live radio. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And that's awfully fun, actually, what we wound up doing. But, wow, we've been away from it. I hope we remember what to do.
I know. I'm going to be in front of the board and, like, thrust back into engineer mode. But I'm going into it very open, and I'll just slow down and take a deep breath and get right into the groove there.
So, Bratislava. I like Bratislava. I think we said a few words about it. It was kind of an old town, loud trams. We found our way around pretty easily. We did a lot of walking because, well, things closed down pretty early, so we had to walk a bit. It wasn't so bad, though. It's easy to find your way around. And after that, we took the train over to Budapest, right?
Yeah, it was a neat learning the tram system in Bratislava and visiting the city a bit, and then we hopped on the system, as it were, waited a little bit at their station, one of the main stations, and then got onto this train headed for Hungary.
Do you actually remember the train heading to Hungary? I'm trying to remember what that was like.
Well, I remember I was doing a lot of gymnastics, and I believe we were definitely... I don't know if there were a lot of people in the cabin on the way over or what it was, but we did have a couple seats to ourselves or one of the enclosed cars.
Oh, that's the train where we kept pretending that our cabin was full.
Okay. Well, I mean,
a cabin is basically, you have different ways of sitting on a train. You can either have seats like we're used to in the States, or you have these little cabins which are three seats facing three seats and a door that slides shut. And they just have a bunch of those throughout the car. And, you know, I think we were recording radio. Yeah, I think we were recording radio in that train. And we wanted to not be disturbed. You know, it's awfully hard to record radio when there's some stranger sitting opposite you. So every time the train stopped someplace, reaching up to get one of our bags and bring it down and move it up again, just basically make it like somebody had just arrived inside the cabin and was busy and crowded. And all these people would walk by, take one look, and say, yeah, I don't want to sit there. That, obviously, there's a lot of commotion going on in there. We were in this cabin. We knew there weren't going to be any reservations because the trains are able to be marked. As far, can you know somebody's calling me now while I'm driving to the radio? So annoying. Hang on, I got to make this light before somebody else does. Oh, I got this. I had to, there's a yield sign, and this person was coming, and I didn't have to yield as long as I beat them. Okay, and now here's this intersection here where I always get into arguments with commuters. See, that guy ran a stop sign. I don't like that at all. Okay, made it safely. On the Stony Brook campus now. So, yeah, we were doing all this, and I don't feel bad about it because we wanted our privacy. There are plenty of other places for people to sit. We just didn't want to deal with people. So we kept doing that little charade and keeping the entire compartment to ourselves, and it worked all the way, didn't it?
Yeah, we were really successful in deterring anybody from just even opening the door or poking their head in. We didn't want to look peaceful. We went for, I think, maximum chaos, maximum kerfuffle, I don't know, just craziness. You know, just a lot of picking up and putting down, which is typical. And I think, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And you know, there's plenty of things. I certainly learned a few things about getting some of your own private space. And basically, you know, working with a system like that, you know, as far as open seating goes.
Well, we were having loud conversations between ourselves, fake conversations, saying, no, that bag has to go up on top, that's fragile, please don't lift that. You know, basically having like a bit of an argument, making it seem like there were four people in the room and there are only two. And not one person other than the conductor actually opened the door and came in. So I think that worked out rather successfully. But then again, you know, I'm used to stuff like that in New York. Being antisocial and basically making things up. We are pulling into the parking lot here at Stony Brook now to do our off-the-wall radio show. I guess we can keep this going as we walk into the Union, right? Maybe even find coffee someplace. If I can find a damn parking space, here's one. Oh, there's two, actually. I'm going to do that. That's easier. Yeah. It's bitterly cold outside, although it's going to get a lot colder in 2 days. Let's just walk over to the building. Wow, feel that wind. You okay, Kanger?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but we always, we're walking between cars here, we're always late. We're not late, but just in a hurry. I wanted to leave 15 minutes early so we can get coffee, and of course, somehow we've lost those 15 minutes. But it's a couple of challenges. Like I said, we want to play NASA on the radio, which means we got to get the computer at the radio station to work and do that. And that's always a challenge in and of itself. But I understand there's a problem with the door. I didn't tell you this. The door is sticking.
Sticking?
Yeah, so it's really hard to get into the station.
Okay.
So we might have some other challenges that we've never had before.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that. And, of course, we want to get, you know, a coffee as well. Did you see that?
What?
That person almost walked directly into me.
She looked like a teacher or something. Maybe she was busy, like, thinking about something important.
Maybe, but it calls to mind that syndrome
that
we noticed.
Anti-walking?
Yeah.
People that are afraid to walk?
Leave my room all the time.
Yeah, whenever we're in Europe, we notice this. It happens every time.
Yeah, people just, they have a little bit of trouble interacting with that passing and walking skill, general walking tactic.
No, it's more than a little bit of trouble. It's major trouble. You're walking down the sidewalk, someone's coming towards you, and there's always this confusion as to which way do you pass. I mean, I'm not confused. I always pass on the right. But I do that, and then people seem to aim towards me as if they want to run right into me, and oftentimes they do. All right, line's not too bad.
Wow, there's a lot of interference in here.
Well, you know why. Everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah. And there's like background music, and it's humming. And
yeah, you got the humming sound. You've got the music. You've got everybody having at least one cell phone. And, of course, you have people talking as well.
Yes.
Which I find to be a bit inconsiderate. We're trying to do radio.
I know. I wish people would understand that, you know, field production is everywhere. It's not just in a field.
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad you understand that, because most people don't.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that one and share it with people in the future.
Where's the 786 area code? Somebody just called me from there.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I used to know all the area codes until they broke them.
They broke every one of them.
Yeah. All right, so you know what you want here?
A cappuccino.
You know what? You're very particular with how you get cappuccinos, so I'm going to talk about that a little later.
No, actually, I'll just get a mocha.
Two ice mochas?
Ice? Ice. Really? Ice?
Ice mochas.
Why?
It's
so cold.
You know, it's cold out, but we're not out, are we? We're
yeah, ask for a popsicle, why don't you?
They don't have popsicles here.
A frosted,
you know what, you can bicker about whether it's iced or not. If you want a warm one, get a warm one. I'm getting an iced one. That's what I do.
Now I feel like I should have an iced one.
Look, we just got to get it quickly. I think we should each just do our own ordering. Ah. No whipped cream. And what would you like?
16-ounce regular mocha. No. No, whipped cream is the devil.
That would be true for both of us. Yeah. I like scripts. I'll explain what I mean by that in a second. Thanks a lot.
Scripts?
Yeah, you notice they always say next guest please. It's rather an odd phrase, but they all say the exact same thing because that's the script.
It's not unnatural at all, is it?
I don't feel like a guest. I feel like a customer.
You're selling me coffee.
Which, you know, in Penn Station, they tell you that escalators are for customers only. They refer to everybody in Penn Station as a customer rather than a passenger. I feel more comfortable there being called a passenger. And that doesn't happen there. Everyone has their own little script.
It's like marketing language.
Yeah.
It's to make sure they're covered, like their bases are covered for customer service.
Yeah.
Like people respond to that in the future. It's like, oh, well, we have accommodated for our guests. We acknowledge our guests, you know, in language and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, here I should be called a customer, I think. Not a passenger. I don't feel like a passenger in the coffee shop, but I feel like a customer, not a guest. At a hotel, I'm the guest. Although I am a customer, too. And if it's, if I'm in a train, I'm also a passenger. But regardless, it's, everyone has, nobody deviates from the script is the point I was trying to make. They all say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird.
It's corporate policy.
Yeah, they have to, like, stick to the script. Wow, what is this guy? He has a creamer, a pot of creamer.
Has a what now?
Is it a pot of coffee? Is he getting a whole pot?
Can you order an entire pot of coffee here?
I don't know. Maybe he's got an entire... Oh, no, he's just taking his time putting his coffee together. Never mind.
Well, I hope they don't take their time behind the counter because we're a little short on time.
Are we doing a radio show?
Why are we recording this now, right before we're doing a radio show? Yeah, we're on the air in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, people. Five minutes.
They can make two cups of coffee.
We have T-minus some minutes to a launch as well, right?
Yeah, 10 minutes to the launch.
Okay.
We're the only people here that are worried about both a radio show and a rocket launch.
A rocket launch, yes. So you're listening for our coffee, right?
Yeah, I'm watching and listening.
All right.
But then again, so is everybody else here. They're all ready to pounce on something. You know, the other day I got the wrong coffee. We were at a coffee shop, and it came out the same time as your coffee, so I thought it was mine, but I got a hot chocolate, and some kid got jacked up on coffee.
Yeah, it certainly appeared that way. It was definitely the wrong order. We weren't expecting to get various drinks in the order, and the ones that appeared.
I knew something was wrong because it was really sweet.
Riddled with kid stuff.
But, you know, the mocha was sweet too, sort of, but what do you do at that point? You can't just give it back and say, yeah, you know what, I drank some of this, but this belongs to you. I just figured I'd get through it. Oh, I see my mocha.
Okay.
You see, your hot mocha has slowed us down. I have my cold mocha. Where's your hot mocha?
They said following guests.
Is that your hot mocha? Okay, mission accomplished, sir. Okay, so now we have to get to the station, get through the door somehow.
And a sticky door.
Yeah, and then set up the show. The thing is, you know, we can't really be late this time because there's a rocket. NASA is launching a rocket, and they don't wait. They don't wait at all, then. They're very serious about these things.
Yeah, we're going to share it with our audience, but we have to be ready and... am I engineering? I'm engineering, right?
That's the plan.
Okay, so I'm going to...
I'm going to pull those keys in that door.
Oh,
that.
Man.
Wow. There's a meeting room, and it must be the building manager. I left like 50 keys like in the keyhole. Oh, wow. The trouble we can get somebody into.
Well, if we have problems with the door...
We won't. The door's open. See, it's ajar.
Oh, you're right. It is.
cut that damn thing.
This thing?
It's got radio to do.
All right, let's turn this off.
We'll resume this later.
Okay. All right, I'm turning it off. Hello, good evening.
Oh, wow, we're back.
We are.
We're here. We're live in the studio.
Very alive.
Wow. Of course, there's no way to really prove that, is there? No, there is a way. There is a way. Because we were planning this whole elaborate thing, right, where we went down the hallway and we got coffee, and we did that. That worked fine.
Uh-huh.
And then we were going to broadcast live the launch of SpaceX, because they decided to postpone it again to 6:05 p.m. right at the beginning of our show. And we figured, hey, you know what? NASA TV, we can just tap into that and watch SpaceX go up. And then 10 minutes later, it's going to try and land on that platform in the Pacific Ocean again, hopefully not crash into it this time. And, you know, we're big into space and exploration and science and all that. So we got in here, right? Everything's working great. We go to their website. We play the feed. And what are they doing? They're showing a documentary about something completely unrelated.
Educational footage about drones. It's not what we wanted at all.
Not all we wanted. And I'm going nuts trying to figure out why, where's the launch? I was watching the launch when we left to come here. It was on, so why isn't it on now? Looking all over their site for information on what might have happened. Finally, my phone, thank you, phone, my phone buzzes with a little news bulletin saying that they postponed it again because of high winds. Why, NASA, for God's sake, why don't you put that on your website? You know, there's one thing that really annoys me, all right? Warm beer annoys me. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But number two, I don't like websites that aren't updated, especially websites that are in the middle of something big, and launching a rocket is big. You should tell people it's postponed. So I found out from my phone, but it's not on the NASA website yet. So we're sorry. We can't broadcast the rocket going up. That would have been a first. But, you know, maybe it was too much for us to handle.
Well, OTW engineers were working very, very hard to get that signal into the studio for you today. And I'm sorry, we couldn't bring it to you. We'll try again next time.
We did it. We got the signal. The signal just is wrong. It's boring now.
Very wrong, yeah.
But hey, you know, we're back. I didn't want to overshadow our return by rocket ship, but that does happen sometimes. But in this particular case, we don't have the rocket ship to worry about anymore, so we can talk about us.
It was great timing. But let's talk about us. Let's talk about being back. What is this country all about? It's amazing, a really interesting place. The transportation system here is fascinating.
Can I just say, do you realize this is the first live program we have done in a radio studio since December? Any radio studio. We have done radio. Well, we've done radio on the other station over the phone, but we've also done radio in Europe on a couple of different radio shows for a station I'd like to talk about a little later.
Yeah, we did.
But that wasn't live. It wasn't broadcast live. Let's give out can you bring me back? And I'll plug my headphones in over there.
Of course. And I think we're back from delay land. I'm pardoning.
I'm not back. Oh, wait, no, I am back.
I'm pardoning for.
Oh, am I live?
My delay.
I'm live. Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is so weird.
I think I'm live, too.
No, I'm sort of I'm in delay in my mind, but my voice is live.
You sound very live, and I'm happy to be here. Well, that's been a show, right?
It's been a show. It's been one heck of a show. Our email address is otw@2600.com. A lot of people ask us what the OTW stands for. It stands for Off the Wall. What, are you dumb? I mean, come on. Obviously, it's Off the Wall. Good Lord. We have an outro that we planned specifically because we were going to broadcast the SpaceX launch. but they decided to postpone it, so it kind of doesn't make any sense anymore. I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do about that. But this is all about going around the universe in 80 days. And what, we had this all sorted out. We had a thumb drive. We plugged it in. What, it's not working anymore?
No, it's always working. It's working. Everything's working. Everything's great here. Still be USB off the wall. Good night, everyone.
I hate radio so much.
Yeah. Oh, we're recording, by the way.
I figured you holding the microphone in my face was a clue that you might be recording. Yeah, no, I hate radio, too. I've hated radio from the beginning.
That was a good show, though.
It was a good show. People tell me that all the time. That's why I keep coming back, because people keep holding enticing things in front of me, saying, wow, that was the best show ever. You have to come back and do another one now. And it's just, it's been torture. It's been torture now ever since the first one I ever did. You know, it never ends.
Because you're never 100% sure that that's true. They're just lying. They could be lying. And you know, we did get a call tonight. The guy said basically this as much, that, you know, he's happy to have us back.
Yeah, yeah, he said that. Damn him. But
so he could be lying. But we don't, well, let's just, we're going to drop it. We have other things to do. So this is the other end of the show, inside the show. Basically, it's nested. What do you call them? Like the little Russian dolls.
Those things that keep opening up within each other.
Not Fabergé eggs, but yeah, it's like the...
I don't know what they're called.
Doll inside the doll inside the...
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't feel so weird walking around this place with microphones. Everybody else is talking on their phones. We're just a bit more overt about it.
Organized, in fact, she didn't even see me going, no, she's on her phone, doesn't even see me, you know.
People are zombies.
Complete irreverence.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did just do a live radio show. Now we're doing a recorded radio show after the live radio show.
We don't stop. We just keep going. It's a constant production. This is basically how we're going to be recording and doing other sorts of documenting into the future. I'm sure all this year, it'll be a camera. It'll be some kind of mechanism.
It feels like we're under constant scrutiny, always being documented and recorded in one way or another. I thought the government was doing it, but no, it looks like we're doing it ourselves.
Well, I think what we're doing is we're combating that whole thing head on and basically saying, look, we're going to surveil our lives more than anybody could possibly do it.
Yeah, and then we'll just turn the records over to you, and we'll do a better job at your job than you can do at your job, and then see what you can get on us based on our own evidence.
Yeah, that will all be misinformation to begin with.
Yes, I knew somebody named Misinformation, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if she's still around these days. Hold on, I gotta squeeze through this parking lot.
Yeah, okay. Mentioning the mountains of snow we have to cross over.
Yeah, don't fall through
climb
the ice
snow
drift.
Mountain.
Yeah. Hope you're comfortable with the ice cave.
Do you remember where we parked?
I don't know. Where are we?
Hang on. Got a quick little button here and see what flashes. There it is. I have yet to hit the button that makes the horn go off. You know what? I'm going to do it. Ha. Hey, how do I stop that?
Press the unlock key.
Okay, got
or
it.
Or the panic.
I've never hit that button before.
Now you have.
Okay, now we're going to open the door and get in the car.
Okay, here we go.
Kyle, there's something I have to tell you. We have a delivery of Club Mate coming.
You already told me this.
Well, I didn't tell you this on the microphone.
Okay.
And when that happens, we need to move the 2600 van out of the way. Now, the 2600 van is always a challenge to start in good weather. It's very cold now. We need to start that van tonight so that it'll start when we have to move it for real. So we might be spending the rest of this really, really cold night trying to start a van. Is that okay with you?
No.
Okay, good. I'm going to start the car then. Did you put your seatbelt on?
Yeah, mine's on.
Okay, good. So, yeah, unfortunately, we have to do that. But, you know, we don't have to let that get in the way of us discussing our trip overseas in Europe.
Why would we? We would totally talk about our trip overseas and everything while we do this. Of course, that's definitely my prerogative.
I know we talked about Budapest before, but I'd like to talk about it a little bit more because I just thought it was such an invigorating city. Like I said, the escalators move double the speed as everywhere else. We have a nice mass transit system, so picturesque, comprised of two cities, Buda and Pest, Buda being the historical area, Pest being kind of the busy area. And I don't know, I thought the food was really good. I thought we went to a couple of really good places, didn't we? We always like sort of squeezed our way in between the lunch and dinner crowds with no reservations whatsoever, and were treated like royalty and wound up paying virtually nothing.
Yeah, I think that went along with a lot of the coffee and different ideas for places to eat and places to drink coffee, and just to take a minute to ourselves. We made it a game of finding good stuff and interesting and different stuff.
Well, okay, I need to ask at this point, because you have... Oh, look, that person left their lights on. Look at that. There's nothing we can do for them. Wow. I don't think people still did that. I thought cars were smart enough now. I wanted to ask you about this, because you have a method. You have a secret. You don't have to give away your entire secret, but I've noticed that when we go to certain places, you are able to go online and find really cool places to go to, whether it be for coffee, whether it be for lunch, whether it be for dinner. And you've got a pretty good track record as far as that goes. What kinds of things do you look for?
Well, it's kind of tough to answer entirely. I'm pretty discerning. I'm a little picky. I go through a lot of results for things, and there's a lot of filtering you can do as far as types of cuisine or types of cafe and types of coffee, and then like maybe the reviews give you an indication of what the price range might be. So I'm pretty, but I'm also, I pick ones that maybe don't stand out at first. I come back to stuff, so I do a kind of a glance or a skim, and then I come back to things that caught my eye, and then weigh, you know, my options that way once I've got a couple sort of decent places that, you know, you have all kinds of considerations, location, where we're going to be, where we're going to go. But I got really good at it. I was having fun. I made a game of it.
Well, yeah. Now, in Budapest especially, do you want to talk about the coffee? Because you're very discerning on coffee. And every time we went to get coffee, it was a different place, different kind of environment, different rules applied. Sometimes it went well, sometimes it didn't. I know you took personal exception at some people in Prague who told you that you weren't allowed to have sugar in your coffee or something like that. But there are other instances that went much better than that.
Yeah, I tried a lot of cool espresso. We went to this one tiny place that was interesting in Budapest, that their espresso machine was like totally rebuilt and had like plexiglass covers so you could see the inside. I'd never seen the inside of an espresso machine. It was a working machine, and it was so delicate. This woman was the barista and doing a fantastic job, but she had her pace. She was slammed with people, but kept up and just sort of took each new order into her process, and as soon as she could, she would come up with this really well-presented, really well-pulled coffee from this machine. And it was really an art. It was really wonderful to be there.
Was this the place in Budapest near the Microsoft office?
Yeah, by the market. We were near that indoor market.
Oh, and the market. Wow, that was a find.
Yes, yeah, it seemed... Not kind of a cusp of touristy and sort of a local flavor, but yeah, they've got this wonderful indoor market where you can go and get kind of meat or cheese products and a lot of little gifts maybe to take home. I got some Hungarian paprika there.
We walked around that whole market, and it was really awesome because there are all different kinds of meat and cheese and all sorts of Hungarian things. And it wasn't until the next day when we went back there that we realized there's a whole upstairs as well where they're serving food. And you can just go and get a beer or go and get a sandwich, or all kinds of things. And it's all really well-priced and just kind of non-touristy. You just hang out there and watch the world go by.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting places that was basically also housing this coffee and other, you know, a lot of intersections for places. You look up something, you'll tend to find other things in that area that are of interest to you, and you kind of stumble into them. That's kind of an attribute of just the way we get along and move about when we're when we're exploring these places all together. So it was pretty natural in that sense. And just kind of, as I said, I came. We also went to, you know, several other coffee places across the town. Some were maybe, you know, a different setup, a couple barista or and so on and so forth. But each place had, you know, really fantastically done espresso and a different sort of sense. One place was a bit, they had a real spiritual thing going on there.
Yeah, they were kind of like a meditational type place, weren't they?
Yeah, and very, you know, quick. You could get a quick cappuccino or something good. That's where I rediscovered what a cappuccino actually is, in fact. I'd been away from cappuccinos for quite a while, and I retried that, and they really did a fantastic job on the coffee there. But it was, they had like a picture of a yogi and different people that maybe had been involved in the coffee shop before, and a lot of really abstract art, and it was very kind of a trip, really, to have your coffee there. And that was another cool place.
Would you say coffee is a universal language?
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's a bold statement. I would say...
Would you please say that for me? I want to hear you say that.
Coffee is a universal language.
Oh, you said that good. Thank you. That's all I wanted.
It was about how I said it.
Yes. No, but seriously, I think there's something about the language of coffee that speaks across any kind of language barrier.
It really does, and it affects a lot of people, and people across all socioeconomic stratification, the whole spectrum of people. Everybody's gathered around maybe a warm drink, a coffee, or a tea, or something to get their day going, and it's really a pleasant pastime.
Of course, I had an amazing amount of difficulty just getting a cup of black coffee. You were able to get all kinds of more intricate things, but all I wanted, really, was a cup of black coffee with nothing in it, and we kept calling it Americano and all sorts of other things. Coffee creme, I think, was one thing, but that says cream. I didn't want cream, but it was hard to get sometimes. I don't think we knew the right word.
Yeah, you have to actually be quite concerned with the language of coffee in different places and how you're going to order and what you're going to ask for. And it actually, I think, validates some of the crazy names like large commercial coffee companies in the States, multinationals, I might say, label their different size beverages and what they call their different drinks, because it is a bit chaotic in some places. If it's not an English-speaking place and they're using Italian or they're using French or they're borrowing words from this, their, you know, concept of this drink, it falls under this sort of label and so on and so forth. You really have to be sensitive to what you're going to actually be asking for in their colloquial lingo.
We did go to Starbucks a couple of times.
I wasn't going to admit it, but yeah, we tried all kinds of coffee. I mean, honestly, it's when it comes down to it, if you don't have a hostel or a place to eat your breakfast, you have to look for a cafe of some kind to maybe get a pastry or a juice. We've talked about how hard it is to get fresh juice, or it's just not common to have packaged juice everywhere. If you're ordering juice, it's a big to-do. It's like a fresh squeeze or this or that. The other thing is, it's generally just not as accessible. But your best bet is to try a cafe if you want it at all in the morning. And so, yeah, when we're getting up and getting going, a cafe is usually a great spot to start figuring out where you're going to explore or how you're going to learn about the new place you've just arrived at.
Well, the only reason I brought that up, the only time that we actually would go to a Starbucks type place is when we were traveling and just needed a place to set our bags down, or maybe needed to hop on Wi-Fi, or there was nothing else that we could find in that general vicinity. But whenever possible, you would go online and find a really cool place, like we mentioned. And each of those experiences, no matter what city we were in, was completely different from the last one. And I think that's really where the magic happens. When you see, even when we were in Dresden that time, we went to a local place, and it was extremely bland and bare and kind of like Iron Curtain-ish. You know, there was this woman there.
That was Leipzig.
Was that Leipzig? I'm sorry. See, even the city sort of blend into each other.
But Dresden was similar, too. We were looking for Pegida members.
Yes.
That was a bakery, though.
But in Leipzig, yeah, it was basically sort of like a cafeteria almost. Coffee wasn't that good, but it was, no, I wouldn't have traded it because that experience was what that place kind of summoned up.
Authentic.
Yeah, for that. I mean, I'm sure there's better places there, but I sort of wanted a taste of that because, well, the architecture kind of speaks to that period of time. And you want to think, what was it like to live here 20, 30 years ago when it was part of East Germany and you had to remain there? You couldn't just waltz off to Paris if you wanted to. And, of course, the coffee wasn't that good. That's I think, the number one complaint about Iron Bloc countries was that the coffee really wasn't that good.
In some people's worlds, I think that was the case. I'm not sure how widely that perspective was held, but
no culture went anywhere without good coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker, and I know that
it is an important drink. It really is, and I'll admit it. I'm a bit of a coffee drinker.
Yes. Well, maybe you could tell us what you have certain rules that you like to follow in the morning. There's no harm in revealing what those are.
Well, it depends on where I am and stuff, but I'll usually try to get, if I'm going to stay in some place, I'll try to get an espresso of some kind and then a drip coffee of some kind as well, and then I usually mix the two myself, and it's called a shot in the dark, but it's, you know, it's really just an espresso and
a... Wait, is that the name of the drink or the name of what you're doing?
Both. You could order a shot in the dark, and they'll do it for you. They'll give you some drip coffee and an espresso, but I like to do it myself. But also, I mean, I think cappuccino is underestimated. It's, if you like stuff that's a little more creamy, which I like. I like cream and sugar sometimes in coffee, which in some cases isn't done. I was rebuffed at a place in Prague.
We might as well talk about that now.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
Should, Kyle.
It's painful
to get this out of the way, because this is something that caused you a lot of pain and me by extension. We were in a place, you know, we can say it was called the Anonymous Cafe. They had Guy Fawkes masks and everything.
And they had their big special beans from Berlin, and they were telling me, I basically ordered filter coffee, and it was done a certain way, and I thought, oh, wow, this is really nice. The guy's giving me a deal. It's cheaper, in other words, to get one of these flasks of drip coffee done this way. I can share it with you. It'll be a better deal, and it worked out. I thought that's really the long and the short of it. Well, what he was turning me on to was this whole experience that I had to, like, you know, respect and take in and all that. Really, I was supposed to sit, let it cool, and here's the kicker. I wasn't to add anything to it, and that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I like putting a little cream in sometimes. I don't mind a little bit of sugar in drip coffee, but this was special drip coffee.
But look, when you're sitting around in Mongolia inside the tent and they hand you the fermented yak milk, you're supposed to drink it. You're supposed to follow the customs of the natives. And whether it's in Ulaanbaatar or in Prague, is there really a difference?
No, there's never a difference. And there's never an excuse to be an impatient traveler. You always have to be open to these experiences. So I took it with a grain of salt or whatnot, and off we went. And I it was interesting. It was good coffee. It was pleasant.
You put a grain of salt in the coffee? They wouldn't let you put sugar in, and you put, oh, wow.
There's a rainbow in the sky, so let's have another cup of coffee and and let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's like a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Let a smile be your umbrella, or it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is looking for the silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.